The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Okay, we're back here on this Friday edition. Oh, it's different. This is a different kind of Friday. It's got a whole different kind of feel. Why is that? Well, because the merchants of the earth want you to imbibe in Black Friday. Black Friday, is that like racist? I mean, what happened to White Friday? Oh, no. You got to wait till January when we have our white sale. I mean, all the African Americans out there ought to be pissed. I mean, the white sale in January. Well, maybe it's because there's snow on the ground in most of America. They call it the white sale. But today is Black Friday. Why do we call it African American Friday? I mean, if we're going to be politically correct here, right? Yeah, I know. Shove it, Krieger. I know. The merchants of the earth would just love for you to get into it. Oh, yeah, just get into it. Come to our store. Come to our brick-and-mortar store. Jam up the parking lot. Fight over parking spaces. Beat each other up in the store. You don't think that's a reality? Oh, the New York Post has a video floating around of cart-to-cart Costco confrontation. There's an alliteration of C's for you this morning. Yeah, naughty shopper behavior. Hey, you know what? I was at Sam's Club last week, and two shoppers got into it at the checkout lanes because they form a line. This is what's really interesting. They form a line that doesn't exist. You're looking at them as you pull up and you're like, wait a minute, is there a line here? And you want to be nice. You want to be polite. You want to be patient. You know you're going to get checked out. But two guys almost got into it and were threatening each other verbally over which checkout lane in Sam's Club they wanted to go to. I said, oh, this takes me way back to when COVID started and they were locking down all the major stores or the mom and pop stores and the major stores, you know, they get to stay open if you wear a mask and all this other garbage. And of course, then you remember you couldn't go to grandma's house on Thanksgiving because if you were unvaccinated, you'd kill her. Yeah. Remember all the lies Fauci told? Let's not forget that when Trump takes office. All right. But you get, I was in literally in a shopping mall in Florida, watching two guys almost get into fisticuffs over a space that was not even remotely close to the front door. I mean, they got into it. It was like seven or eight spaces down. You know, you had to walk. If you look at how wide a space is, you know, you get to walk an extra 24 feet from the main driveway to get to the parking space. But one of them darted in and got the spaces. The other one was pulling up, and the other one in the truck got mad and got out, and the two of them were, like, in each other's face. Well, at Sam's Club this last week when these two guys got into it, there was a woman apparently that was in one of these shopping carts that you scoot around. They're battery-powered, which means she probably had some sort of debilitating condition. And as her apparent husband was getting into it with the other guy, I turned to her and I said, "'Tis the season to be jolly." And she cracked up laughing. I mean, seriously, folks, you are going to run into all... I mean, what do you do when they start unloading? You know, it's like the women who all go to the shore and scream at the shore like the, you know, Neptune is going to come out of the water and bless them. yeah, because Harris lost. They're all screaming. I mean, come on, people, really. You need to get over this. If you are living in a dream world, thinking that the government is just going to give you things to keep you where you are and keep you happy, and they're just going to hand you money like they do themselves, I'm talking about our government now. You think Congress is going to appropriate money so that you can live rent-free or do whatever or live in a five-star hotel like they're doing with all these illegal immigrants? And then, of course, you go to the mega chain store today and you watch. And then you sit there and you know, I like people watching at these stores because some people actually are very nice, and you can probably figure that they're of the conservative persuasion, because conservatives seem to be more tolerant than liberals. Liberals, it's, you know, more me, me, me. I'm first. I'm here. It's me. Give me, give me, give me. It's my space. I deserve it because I'm liberal. I voted for Harris, so I deserve a front row parking space. I'm Harris, so I deserve to cut in front of you. And I'll smash your shopping cart if you don't. Now, you can tell who the entitled people are just by the way they act. That's why I like going and people watching. I mean, just stand in one of the aisles and look at the checkout counters and watch how people behave in your community. And you will know exactly what kind of mindset and whether or not it's actually safe. Because if murder was legal and you cut in front of somebody, they would just literally take out a gun and shoot you. That's how crazy our society has gotten. And it's worse when you get people like California Attorney General Rob Bonta issuing a list of suggestions for shoppers to avoid scams and requested that consumers rat out their department stores that lack gender-neutral children's sections. Oh, yeah. I mean, you just heard USA Radio News talk about the Assembly Bill 1084. You know about California's got more Republicans in the Assembly. Well, I'll tell you what, but it's a majority of Democrats, and they voted in this Assembly Bill 1084 in 2021, which took effect at the beginning of this year, requiring department stores with at least 500 employees across California locations to offer children's sections that do not separate items based on gender. And if you walk in and you are a shopper there and you see gender-based pricing discrimination going on, you report them. You get on your phone, you take pictures, and you send it to the AG's office and rat out the department store. You know, what I'm wondering is, because it is Black Friday, why all the stores don't just close? I mean, since everybody loves their phone and loves their internet, why don't you all just stay home and shop from home? Since you're going to spend money you probably don't have, like Congress spends money it doesn't have. Yeah, but then Rob Bonta wants you to go out and rat out, rat out the department store. Yeah, they don't have a gender-neutral section. Yeah, and then they get price discrimination. You know, just take a picture and send it to the AG's office and we'll bust them. We'll hit them with a $250 fine and $500 for each additional photo we get from people. Wow. You see, this is how the merchants of the earth set this whole thing up. I was noticing Black Friday also produced what we call a parallel economy edition. Basically, what it says is that, full disclosure, you know, shopping these brands, you're empowering the alternative media space. So they encourage you to shop at like Good Ranchers, with who works with over 100 family farms in America to do the good meat and seafood to your table. That's what we call farm to table stuff. That's the healthy stuff. So Good Ranchers is one. Now, are the prices a little higher? Maybe. It depends on what you want. The wellness company, you know, I mean, come on. This is, the wellness company is a parallel economy, but why are they pushing Big Pharma? Yeah, oh, get your medical emergency kit. See, we're still scaring people. I thought we were past this. I'm constantly, and I had Dr. Syed Haider on my other show on a fairly regular basis, but I'm constantly getting bombarded with emails. This is Dr. Syed Haider. You need to stock up because the next pandemic will not be so kind. And I'm like, seriously. Trump just got, he's the president-elect now, you can stop this. Oh no, we gotta make money somehow. See how the alt-right works? Then there's Above Phone. Our phones are spying on us 24/7 and it's nearly impossible to escape this reality unless you're a high-end tech geek. So now we have Above Phones makes escaping constant surveillance simple with their de-Googled phones. And of course, here's your chance to grab one for $100 off at abovephone.com/VFox. Then you have the X Accelerator. The online course is the ultimate resource to learn how to build a following on X. Cheap Nerds Shop. Gotta love that. Bonfire.com, Z Stack Life. Oh yeah, can't forget Zev Zelenko. He's dead now, but I'm constantly getting emails from Z-Stack wanting me to buy their stuff. And then let's not forget Prepper All Naturals. Yep. I've had Jason Nelson on the show before. Trust me. It, that's the alternative. The sales are out there, just not on my website. Anyway, I'll be back with more news after this. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Oh, my. I'm just getting a charge out of that. That last spot we just heard. Yeah. Are you there for your kid? Yeah, I feel like, you know, maybe we should let him watch all those movies they used to show us in class. You know, remember Mr. Bungle? Mr. Bungle would wash his hands before going to the lunch line. Mr. Bungle wouldn't cut in on the lunch line. You know, where do we get away? How do we get away from all that? You know, I tell you, it's our government that, leadership by example, right? So when you got a government that goes out there by design and they create issues, and like I said before we went to break, you remember what Fauci did? If you want to go to Throwback Thursday, Fauci said, well, you know, if they didn't get the jab, you can't let them over for Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, remember that? Of course you do. You know, and everybody got banned because, well, you didn't take the shot and you're un-American and see, they designed this whole thing to turn families against each other. Well, it gets worse because there's an Agenda 2030 out there. It's called Genocide 2030. And what they really want to do is get rid of the people who matter. Seriously, I pulled a clip from Greg Reese over the weekend and I found the clip to contain this doctor's take on what the intent is and what even this current administration coming up is leading us to. Because as you know, there have been so many of these picks in Trump's cabinet that are globalists. Seriously. Why do they put a hedge fund manager in the Treasury? I mean, there's a whole lot of things that I'm finding fault with. I mean, it's one thing to let Ramaswamy and Musk in to do some cost cutting because Lord knows our Congress needs a little checks and balances that have to do with our budget because there's a lot of wasted money. But then when you look at what the ultimate plan is, I mean, we need to get out of the United Nations and push them away completely. I've said this before. You get the UN out of the US and then we can finally have peace and quiet here. Anyway, Greg Reese has this clip. I'm going to play it for you. See what you think.
A very important message from Dr. Rima Libo. Trump must tackle the UN's plan for global genocide. See the whole thing at ban.video.
Trump has appointed an entire slate of globalist henchmen, one after another, from his chief of staff to the appointees that he's chosen to his vice president, who is Peter Thiel's business partner. And if you're looking for a globalist, you'll find one in Peter Thiel. However, every single campaign promise rests on our not being part of the United Nations in order to fulfill that promise. Gender mutilation, or you can fill in the blank and talk about digital currency or any of the issues that people are quite rightly concerned about. These hordes of people flooding across borders around the world are in fact doing what the United Nations wants them to do, which is destroy the national integrity of each and every country anywhere in the world. When we remove our countries from the United Nations, we automatically are removed from the World Health Organization, UNESCO, UNICEF, the International Monetary Fund, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If a country, a sovereign country, and a non-country organization conclude a relationship, it's called a contract. And the country is under no obligation to change its laws to meet the contract. So that's a very, very significant difference. There can be no treaties with the United Nations because it's not a sovereign state. It's an unelected nobody's club. Leaving the United Nations is embarrassingly simple. It takes a letter from the head of state to the Secretary General of the United Nations, and the letter says, we're not part of your club anymore. Goodbye. That's all it takes. Now, I emphasize it has to be signed by the head of state. In Trump's first term in office, he allegedly removed us from the World Health Organization. He did not. That was twinkle toes, nonsense, flim flam. He directed Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, to write the withdrawal letter. In other words, it was a political theatrical stunt. Trump then took twice the annual contribution that the United States makes to the World Health, which should be called World Holocaust Organization, and he gave it to Gavi, which is one of the principal supporters of the World Health Organization. Where do you think double the money went? In the Senate, Mike Lee from Utah, and in the House of Representatives, Chip Roy of Texas and Mike Rogers of Alabama introduced identical legislation, which collectively was called, listen to the words, the Disengaging Entirely from the United Nations Debacle Act. That act required every unit of the United Nations, its headquarters, its peacekeepers, its organizations, its whatever, out of the United States, and the United States out of the United Nations. We have the power now, and we presumably still have the opportunity to inform our leaders that they must do what we say at this juncture. If we do not do this, and the plan of the globalist destructocrats and the controligarchs comes to fruition, people have to understand that is literally the end of humanity. Our DNA will be destroyed for their biodigital convergence enslavement purposes, and the species known as human will cease to exist. That is the explicit articulated plan.
Learn more at preventgenocide2030.org.
Well, you gotta love that, huh? What do you think, huh? We got the Biden administration reportedly urging Ukraine to further destroy its next generation, pushing for the warring country to lower its conscription age from 25 to 18. Ukrainians say they need 160,000 new troops just to keep up with the current needs on a war they're not going to win. And so what does the United States government do? It throws our tax dollars at Ukraine so Ukraine can keep fighting a war it's not going to win. In the meantime, we have a new Russian missile that could reach the United States called the Oreshnik missile. According to the Kremlin, Russia's production of the advanced missile system exceeds that of NATO by 10 times. Amazing how that works, huh? And, you know, I mean, what are they going to do? You got a liberal lawmaker out there, Democratic legislator Liz Krueger. No relation to me, by the way. I don't know. She might have a relation to Freddy Krueger. I don't know. If you live. Yeah, she's calling for a coalition of Northeast states to secede from the Union and join Canada. Hey, you know what? Mr. Trudeau is waiting for you, Liz. Would you like to go have a little fun with Trudeau? Put on a little blackface, maybe? Get on your knees. I'm sure Trudeau would like that. Maybe play a little dress up. Liz, you're a commie pig. You know that? Just like every other one of you that serves in Congress right now that ignores the Constitution of the United States. You keep us in this Article I administrative garbage, and we have to put up with it. Was just sitting there with my lovely wife reviewing this videotape out there from this woman who apparently got pulled over by a police officer. And he asked to see her ID, and she said, I want your badge number, I want this, I want that, get your supervisor here. And I mean, literally, there was a whole line of cop cars by the time it was all said and done. And she had her window rolled down just a crack, because apparently they've been watching a lot of these liberal, you know, kind of think videos on YouTube and attorneys who say, well, this is how you handle cops when they pull you over. You know, they're trying to give quasi legal advice. They can't technically give you legal advice unless you pay them at least a dollar. That way they retained them because see, that's part of the consideration. It's part of a contract. You know, unless you pay them money, you haven't retained them and they can't give you legal advice. All right. But you got these YouTube video attorneys out there telling you how to avoid confrontation with a cop simply by just telling them to go away. Well, it doesn't work like that. They ended up smashing the woman's window, dragging her out of the car, putting her in handcuffs and taking her to jail. Now, see, the thing to do, if you're going to play in the system, if you're going to live in an Article I system and you don't want to move to a South Sea island like Joaquim Hagopian did, he moved to Bali. If you don't want to run away like that and live on some, you know, desert island somewhere with Gilligan, you know, Skipper, what is the little buddy? You know, I mean, if you're going to run away and live, you know, like that, fine. But see, a majority of us have to continue to exist. And if you think moving to Montana is, if you think that's going to solve your problem, the Montana's population boom has fueled higher home prices and sends young, longtime residents packing. I mean, you let everybody in there, you know, ever since Yellowstone came out, Kevin Costner, who's no longer on the show, playing Montana rancher John Dutton, enamored everybody. And they says, oh, yeah, let's all move to Montana right now in Hollywood. Boy, they picked up on that, didn't they? So you wonder why prices went up and why people are leaving Montana that used to live there? Yeah, that's why, because they get californicated. You look at Texas, you'll get Florida, and you wonder about californication. Yeah, remember that song, Don't California My Texas? Oh, you gotta love that. Hey, we got so much more news and things to talk about. And, of course, the phone lines will be open today, 208-216-6100. And call after the news break. We will be back here on this Black Friday after the news. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, back from the break. Here we are in this Friday edition. Black Friday. It's not Good Friday anymore. Nope. And you notice your inbox is probably full of all sorts of Black Friday deals, man. I mean, everybody and their brother, it doesn't matter what it is. They want you to spend with money you don't have, right? Yep, yesterday was a holiday, so there isn't much going on in the judicial system. However, you know, we still have this propensity to sue everybody for every little thing. And, of course, you know how many? What, 80 million people were out and about traveling over the Thanksgiving holiday? And in the meantime, there's an article out. Airlines charge billions in junk fees to boost revenue, according to a Senate report. You know, it's really funny how they sit there and they pick on business, but yet they spend money like a drunken sailor in a strip club. Isn't that amazing how that works? As millions of Americans prepare for record-setting air travel this holiday season, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, you gotta love that, Permanent Subcommittee, I hope that's one of the committees that Elon and Vivek get rid of, the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, yeah, PSI is what they're known as, that pounds per square inch, how much crap can they dish out, you know, how many pounds of crap per square inch. Yeah, they released this report detailing the growing reliance of major airlines on ancillary fees called junk fees, which have become a vital revenue stream for airlines while travelers confront more and more increasingly complex fees and fewer options for avoiding them. Yes, and of course, wouldn't you know, the chairman of it is Richard Blumenthal, globalist from Connecticut, a Democrat, and he examines practices by American, Delta, Frontier, Spirit, and United Airlines. Gee, I wonder why Southwest wasn't included that, because they're going to be going to, instead of open seating now, you're going to actually have to buy a seat pretty soon. You know, that's what happens when Elliott Management takes over your stock portfolio, huh? Pretty sad. So these incentive programs, all the other stuff, you know, new details about exploiting passengers with sky-high junk fees. No, exactly. Among these findings, because people want to know, inquiring minds want to know, you know, the report revealed Spirit and Frontier paid $26 million to gate agents and personnel between 2022 and 2023 for enforcing what? Baggage policies. And why would that be? Well, see, it's not just, you know, the Frontier agents, for example, can earn up to $10 a bag if they flag it for a fee at the gate. Imagine how that works. So you really got to be careful if you're a traveler. Please do not, you know, these oversized bags, they make $75 plus per bag if you bring the kitchen sink with you. I don't know what it is, but people think that they got to pack all this excess garbage that weighs as much as a kitchen sink in their bag. And then, of course, you know, the goes to the counter and they wheel it up there and lug it onto the counter and the scale just literally is screaming in agony. And the clerk looks and going, and you expect me to put that on a conveyor belt? Honey, that's going to break the conveyor belt. You have two choices. You can step over there and you can integrate your stuff into other bags to separate it out. Or, you know, what else are you going to do? Well, we're going to charge you this big fee if we have to lug this, and I'm going to have to get some guy to come over here and lift that bag up because it weighs 200 pounds. What were you thinking, honey? See, there are people out there that travel like that. They don't get it. They don't understand when you travel light, and you travel with smaller bags that fit in the overhead compartment so you don't get hit with all the junk fees. Between 2018 and 2023, these five airlines generated $12.4 billion in seat fee revenue, with some charging as much as $899 for premium seats. And we're not talking about just first class here. I mean, you fly first class, you know you're going to pay, right? That's because, you know, you think that I get off the plane first and I get waited on hand and foot if I sit in first class. In other words, I have money, I'm entitled, while everybody else can sit and coach, right? That's how it works. See, that's one of the reasons I like to fly Southwest. Now, when they go to this seating arrangement where, well, let's see, it's already booked out and you're going to have to wait and we're going to call you by, you know, they're going to start doing what all the other airlines doing and put you in boarding groups. I mean, we have A, B, and C at Southwest, but then Southwest will start, you know, with the five tiers and all the other stuff. And if you want the front of the plane, this is how much it's going to cost you. And then you're going to have to take the middle seat and you can't gripe and complain because you picked it. And so, you know, normally what they would do, the smart airline would seat back to front, right? Nope, that's not how they do it. Oh, no, if you're a business traveler, it's front to back. Business travelers get to go first because you paid lots of money. So you get to go first, and you get your choice of seating. See, that's another junk fee that they collect at the counter. You know, you want to upgrade? Southwest does it. You can get A1 to A15 in your boarding pass simply by paying us an extra $40 to $60. Makes you wonder about that, huh? Oh, yeah. I mean, the convenience of getting an exit row seat, especially if you're like me, you're all legs, and you want the comfort, you're going to fly, you know, transcon somewhere. Oh, I get it. I mean, this is what happens, and now they're getting away with it. Well, you know, this Senate committee, by golly, I wish they would audit themselves, the permanent whatever, permanent subcommittee. And they sit there and they attack businesses that are trying to get people from point A to point B. You know, you don't have to fly, folks. There are a lot of people who don't. They're so sick and tired of airlines. And then when you hear stories, four planes collide in two separate tarmac crashes at Boston Logan Airport. This happened Monday. Holiday travel day. Two separate plane collisions on the tarmac. In the first crash, an American Airlines jet was taxiing to its gate, and it clipped the wing of a parked Frontier Airlines plane. That was terrible. It was scary. All of a sudden, thump, it sounded like something fell from below, according to a Frontier passenger. Oh, yeah, and they show pictures. Taxiing to the gate, and the pilot wasn't paying attention, and he clipped the Frontier Airlines jet, and, yep. Hours later, a JetBlue airplane that was being towed by a vehicle smacked into a Cape airplane that had just landed at Logan from Nantucket and was waiting for a gate to open. The Cape airplane was occupied by two pilots and three passengers while the JetBlue aircraft was vacant. No injuries reported, but both pilots were taken to the hospital out of an abundance of caution, according to the outlet. It was just red lights everywhere, Caroline agent told the station. It looks like the top of Cape airplane got smushed. It was a chaotic mess. Agent was supposed to board the JetBlue plane involved for a flight to Orlando, or JetBlue flight ultimately delayed 3 hours after JetBlue found another plane for the passengers. And, of course, the FAA and the different airlines are investigating the two collisions. But you see how crazy things are getting right now? So much for DEI, huh? Makes you wonder about the skill level of the pilots. And you got to wonder where our TSA, you know, I have an acronym for TSA, especially if you get screened, it's tough, a-hole. Yeah, you got it. We have a stowaway caught on a Delta flight from New York to Paris. How do you do that? A passenger boarded a Delta Airlines flight from New York to Paris without a ticket, somehow evading two boarding pass checks and leading both Delta and the U.S. TSA to say they were investigating how it happened. Oops. French police boarded the plane in Paris and took the stowaway into custody before the other passengers were let off the plane, citing a ticket passenger who was on board. Delta Flight 264 left New York's JFK Tuesday night, landed in Paris Charles de Gaulle on Wednesday. TSA said the person was physically screened before the flight and boarded without any prohibited items. The individual bypassed two identity verification and boarding status stations and boarded the aircraft. No ticket. And TSA is going to independently review the circumstances. You know, the document checker station at JFK, excuse me. And you think that our TSA, oh, look how much money they're making and how much is our government sucking off us. You know, the taxpayers have to pay for these mistakes, right? Yet we have a government that basically goes unchecked. Nobody's paying attention. That's why I hope Vivek and Elon aren't blowing smoke up our butt. They apparently are going to be in D.C. holding talks, DOGE talks, D-O-G-E. Yeah. First formal interaction with Congress. Yep, it's going to happen here. Yes, they certainly are going to have a little. See, Congress wants to know, well, exactly which departments are you going to cut? Yeah, yeah. We're talking about limited government here. Good luck with that. Yeah, even Mike Johnson wants to know what's going on, huh? Oh, you got to love that. Yeah, we'll see how that turns out, right? I know you skeptics out there are just shrugging your shoulders, aren't you? Be back with more news after this. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
All right, back for our last segment here in this Friday. Before we take the weekend off, we'll be back on Monday, and then I'm going to have a couple of repeat broadcasts while I'm out of town doing some business. Oh, yeah. Hey, we all got to take a break. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do on business until after I get back. Then I'll tell you all about it. In the meantime, the U.S., of course, has unzipped its fly. Why? I don't know. But this is, you know, typical of what Democrats do. They apparently have launched and deployed a first fast attack submarine to Guam. Now, why is that? Because Guam serves as a strategic outpost in the Western Pacific, playing a vital role in maintaining stability across the region, according to Captain Niels Steinhagen. All I remember about Guam is my Guamanian drill sergeant when I was in during Vietnam. Drill Sergeant Didasco. I'll never forget that guy as long as I live, because he would talk like that. Can you imagine barking orders at people trying to break their break their mindset down and mold them into something that America can be proud of? Because after all, when you raise your hand, they own you. You signed a contract, remember that. You signed a contract with the United States government that they would own you. Come on, veterans, you know that. I don't have to tell you. I've studied contract law. I get it. This is Article 1. So why would the U.S. Navy sit there and tell everybody, unless you're trying to go, nah, 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 you said you got the Arenchik missile? Well, we just launched a Virginia-class fast attack submarine called the USS Minnesota. Yeah, let's give it a name. SSN 783. Yeah, boy, we can pelt you with... God, sounds like Hunt for Red October, doesn't it? China has the world's largest navy right now with more than 370 ships, including 6 nuclear-powered ballistic missile subs and 6 nuclear-powered attack submarines, according to a report published by the Pentagon. The report estimated the Chinese submarine fleet will reach 80 units by 2035. So what are we all supposed to do? Be scared? How's this work? You know, the USS Minnesota joins 4 Cold War-era Los Angeles-class fast attack submarines in the Submarine Squadron 15 in Guam. I mean, they actually tell you the Asheville, the Jefferson City, the Annapolis, the Springfield. Virginia-class submarines have better warfighting capabilities. Boy, this sounds like those war flicks they used to show you to encourage you to be involved in the war effort. Yeah, they want to turn you into a warmonger, you know? See what they did in World War II, remember that? They used to show all those war films? You know, eyes wide open, eyes wide shut, whatever the case may be, you know? Clockwork Orange, you know, they pry your eyeballs open. That's amazing, you know, how the propaganda machine, man. Why they would come out and tell people what they're doing is either they're either saber-rattling. To me, it makes zero sense. I mean, if you're going to do something to protect the country, it's not necessary to come out and tell everybody about it. This is just asinine, folks. Sorry, hate to use that word, but hey, it is what it is, right? Now we move on to another little thing about the economy. And I got a bone to pick with this one because here, Business and Markets, L.C. Leach III decided he was going to write an article. And the front of the article said, in the 1960 Flintstones episode, The Drive-In, Fred and Barney invest in a failed restaurant, only to be told by a supply vendor that one thing they need to succeed is 3 tons of parsley. When asked why, the vendor replies, "You put some parsley on each order so the customer can throw it away. It's been going on for years." While parsley on food orders is almost gone the way of the dinosaur, one ongoing business custom that remains almost as open to question is restaurant tipping. Oh, now you've hit it. But Barney, hey, Fred. Yeah, okay. You gotta love this. The practice, as Americans now know it, has been in place since Prohibition. Despite being viewed as a vital component of the U.S. restaurant industry, tipping has not only come under fire for being either too tight-fisted or too excessive, it may soon come to a crossroads where the customers get to dictate harsher terms. Well, so they went out and they did this survey. Yeah, you gotta love this. I mean, this is why the Epoch Times is like, what else can you write about other than the tipping habits of Americans? It's bad enough that we've got 35% increase in restaurant costs, right? Just so you know, I used to own a restaurant, okay? I took an old 1941 Union Pacific Railroad caboose and converted it into a restaurant coffee shop in Canton, Texas, right there on Interstate 20. And I was even featured on CBS News this morning. The caboose was, my wife and I operated. And we had badass coffee from Hawaii, and everybody there, of course, all the Baptists are like bad A coffee because they couldn't say the word ass, even though I put little posters on the table that said the word ass is written in the Bible 155 times. And they, you know, badass coffee from Hawaii, you know, eventually the owner got busted for money laundering, but whatever. So we're sitting here, we're selling all this Kona coffee, and people are bitching and complaining about having to pay a dollar for a cup of coffee with free refills. But yet you'll go to Starbucks and do what? Think about it, folks. Come on. This is back in 1996 that we were doing this. Back in 96, we were charging a dollar for a cup of coffee, and Starbucks wasn't even on the map as we know it. But now people can walk in, all those entitled folk, and say, yes, I have a Starbucks gift card. I'll have one of those tri lattes with this and that and the other thing in it. And don't forget the sprinkles. And now they want to attack us on tipping because apparently, you know, tipping by choice is too uncertain for customers to guess at. It's too variable for servers to know what they'll earn from one week to the next. So, you know, when you look at, like Maryland, for example, the minimum cash wage is currently $3.63, leaving servers with a yearly total of $6,960. That's it. If they work 40 hours a week, and a lot of them work way more than that, because they got to make money. I mean, come on. I used to manage a restaurant, a coffee house for Judd Pooch in Kansas City a long time ago. And of course, I had to be there. If the restaurant opened at 6 a.m., I had to be there at 4:30. And so did my employees. At least two or three of them had to be there before opening, and they weren't getting paid anything but the minimum cash wage for restaurant workers. And then you got people that come in that are entitled that sit down and they get crazy. You've seen them. And they're constantly demanding. I when I go to a restaurant, and it's rare I do, because we like to cook at home because, for God's sakes, you don't know what you're getting now. You don't know if the food is tainted with mRNA or what. You don't know if the cook pissed on your hamburger. I mean, you don't know. So, I mean, you know, and I've seen it myself. Working in the back room at restaurants, I've seen people deface food because, oh, that guy again? And they take his lox in the back and pee on him before they put him on his bagel. Oh, yeah. You didn't think I knew stuff like this was going on? Sure I do. That's why I'm very critical about going out to eat anymore, because you don't know what you're getting. But then now they're attacking tipping. And see, the thing is if you're going to be a cheapskate, stay home and fix your own food. Don't go out and harass these people. I mean, the service industry, it's bad enough, because I can tell you right now, from having been in the service industry on a management and ownership level, you know, that you want to, and this is what all the people in the service industry think, they need making tips mandatory would be one step in finding a resolution to the problem. How would you love it if you are told that you have to, and see, this is going to make people very irate. Tipping is mandatory. And see, what they'll do, you know, because there's one guy that says, I have a good experience when I eat out. I can count on one hand how many times I haven't tipped a server in the last 40 years. Tipping by choice actually makes him want to tip. Because see, the thing is, if the server is going to treat you like an a-hole, why do they deserve a tip? See, I like servers who communicate with me and talk to me and come at the table with a smile and recommend things off the menu. And we ask them, my wife and I, when we go out to eat, which is rare. Like I said, we don't go out. It's not because we're cheapskates. We tip very well because we've been in the restaurant business and we know how hard these people work. And you just watch them run around the restaurant, especially in these corporate places. Won't mention names, but it's a very popular Italian restaurant we like to go to when we go out. And so, I mean, you see these people buzzing around like bees, and they have to earn money. They got to pay rent, too, just like we do. So, I mean, if you're going to go out, why would they want to make mandatory tipping? Seriously? I mean, first off, it would be very difficult to enforce. And then if you're going to do what airlines do and attach junk fees. See, I mean, if you've got a party of 10, you see it on the receipt. We automatically add 15% tip to the bill for parties of, you know, six or more, five or more, whatever. Where it's mandatory. And, I mean, look, if you don't like it, go, you know, eat somewhere else. You know, because with tips, the full-service restaurant server's hourly wages average about anywhere from $27 to $40 an hour. Tipflation is more of a customer pushback from a tip prompts a restaurant payment screens where tips have not been the norm. You remember now they got the tip screens out there? Oh, this is crazy because, I mean, now you can actually pick a tip. I think it's a way to make you feel guilty. So you give more. I don't know. Is it a racket or what? I mean, come on. We'll be back on Monday with the Krieger Files again. talking about things that matter to you. You know, like what's in your wallet, right? In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Have a safe Black Friday, as long as you're going to go out there and stand behind somebody with a giant big screen TV in their cart. Then you got to be patient while they decide whether they want to buy a warranty or not. Anyway, have a fun weekend. We'll see you Monday.